Morning, church. Glad you're here. Good to see you. I wanted to begin in Proverbs 3 this morning. As we have come together to offer our spiritual worship, our sacrifice to the Lord, to have our hearts reminded and strengthened of His eternal truths, to be encouraged with this fellowship, and to be able to fellowship with our Lord and Savior today. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your bodies and refreshment to your bones. Let's go to our Father in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we gather together in your holy name, thankful for the many gifts and blessings that you provide, confessing to you, to ourselves, and to those around us that we walk by faith, that we must lean upon your eternal understanding and perspective. We confess, Father, that we do not understand the things that we think we do, but we believe this, that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into your creation to live a perfect life, to offer Himself as a sacrifice for all of our sins and all the sins of the world. We believe, Father, that His body was laid into the ground. And we believe, Father, that you raised him from the dead, justifying him and making him the first of what we all hope for our futures. Father, we love you. We are grateful for that amazing gift of eternal life, for that amazing gift of forgiveness. Father, we thank you. We thank you for allowing us to be here today. We thank you for letting us draw near through the blood of Jesus and being filled with your Spirit. Our desire, Lord, is to please you with our worship. Our desire, Lord, is to have our hearts once again clean and focused and purposed in your kingdom. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, or to give up, I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, rising again, I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Yeah. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. In the Lord, O Lord, our righteousness and strength, the height and breadth and length of love is found in Him. In the Lord, O Lord, our righteousness and strength, in the Lord, our Lord. In the Lord of Lords, our life and health and peace, His mercies and His loving kindness forever cease. In the Lord, our life and health and peace, in the Lord, our Lord. In the Lord, O Lord, is everything I need. The Son of Man, now reigning high, will intercede. In the Lord, is everything I need. In the Lord, O Lord.
Psalm 4, scripture reading and prayer. In His time.
In His time. In His time. He makes all things beautiful. In His time. Show me every day as You're teaching me Your way, that You do just what You say in Your time. In Your time. In Your
Today we'll be reading from Lamentations 3, verse 22 through 33. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in Him. The Lord is good to those who wait for Him, to souls who seek Him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke of his mouth. Let him sit alone in silence when it laid on him. Let him put his mouth in dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast forever, but through he caused grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us come here. Thank you for the time that you've given us, and thank you for the love that you've shown us. Please help us put your word in our hearts as we go through the week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Our psalm before communion is the tune from an Irish lullaby, and most of us know it by the tune of O Danny Boy. And there's another hymn that is entitled I Love Thee So, which is in several hymnals that has the same tune. And this is just one stanza or one verse that was added. Well, it wasn't added to the original, but it was one that is popular. Goes to the tune of O Danny Boy. Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. I shall forever lift mine eyes to Calvary, to endure the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need.
So I was just thinking about the celebration we have in the resurrection of Jesus. Watching this morning as the baby's getting bounced around like a beach ball, and you know, kids running in here happy and joyful. And then Lance of Scripture, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. Therefore, I have hope in him. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this bread. We thank you for the flesh that was mauled for us. It's our fault, but you let him carry the blame, and we thank you for that. We thank you for freeing us of that burden. We thank you for washing us of that sin. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's pray. Our God and Father, we thank you for this cup. We thank you for the blood that cleanses us of our sin. We thank you for giving us cause for celebration. We thank you for the joy that we have in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the resurrection that we have in him as well. In Jesus' name, amen. We said joy. That's not joy. At this time, we'll have a prayer for the collection. There's trays in back in the foyer where they usually are, or y'all can just give straight to me. Either way, either works for me. Let's go ahead and pray. Our God and Father, we thank you again for this time of celebration, this time of praise, this time to be able to get closer to you and your word. And we thank you for all those that are willing to participate in it. We thank you for all those that are here, and we thank you for giving us this opportunity to be able to contribute to the funding that needs to go on to keep this place going. And we thank you for giving us the ability to be able to contribute what we can. And we pray, Lord, that you accept it as we give with humble and cheerful hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Somewhere it's in here, I hope. Okay, this song before Michael's lesson is not a new song. It's just a different version. And this is the third version I'll run across. It starts off with the sopranos and the altos sing the first verse. The basses come in on the second verse, and the tenors come in on the third verse. And since we're not usually on the last Sunday of each evening, is when we learn old songs and new songs. We sing the old ones, but we'll also learn new ones. And this is kind of new in retrospect to that. But it's the same song, just a quicker tempo. And if it's convenient, let's stand as we sing. Sopranos and altos. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. That I have found, Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up.
and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plea than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright. But still I'll pray till at night time. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plea than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me shine. My faith on heaven's table land, a higher plea.
What? Thank you. Church, let's go to our Father in prayer. Father, the faith that you have put within our hearts must be renewed over and over and over. For you have saved us from our sins. You have sanctified us and set us apart for holy purposes. You are making us worthy to be useful in your kingdom for all eternity. And so at this time, as we read your scriptures together, this time as we see clearly the face of Jesus, the love that you have poured out for us, we also receive your instruction, your direction on how to live life. I pray, Lord, that we will receive that today. I pray that we will receive it with humility, receive it with wisdom, and be able to hear you speak with us with eternal words and eternal truth. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've had perfect days in our lives. And, well, really just days and moments that we would be okay to just get wrapped up in and caught up in, and that they would last forever. You think of the wonderful experiences you've had in life and the memories that you hold dear and the times that you said, you know what, this is so perfect. If every day could only be like this day, wouldn't that be fantastic? And then we also have days or seasons in life that we would like to avoid altogether or definitely pass quickly. You think about those who were witnesses to what were going on in Jerusalem on that Friday. Those who had followed Jesus for years, those who had grown close to him, those who had entrusted themselves into his word and into his presence and into his power. And you can imagine that that day for them would be a day that they would love to have just skipped over, to sped up somehow. The Sabbath day after, I'm sure, was a painful, painful day that the time could not go any slower. To be able to stay, or to be really forced to stay put, to be still and trust God when the Messiah is in the ground. To not move about, to not work, to not fuss, to not fret, to not try to build anything yourself, but to trust God during that painful time when his son is thought to be no more. And then, of course, the next day when Jesus comes back from the grave and seeing that empty tomb and speaking to angels, knowing that death has been overcome. I can imagine that was a day in which Jesus' disciples would love to have lasted a very long time. See, the thing is, without that painful day, that wonderful day couldn't come. And it's interesting, and what we're going to see this morning is that from his eternal perspective, God looks to us and teaches us how to live each and every day. Because we're all guilty of it. There's some days in our lives and some situations that we want to be over. We want to speed right through it. And there are some situations and days in our lives that we just want to hold on to forever. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 6 this morning as we see what this means to live each and every day. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. Jesus says, "Do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food. The body is more than clothes. Look at the birds. They don't sow. They don't reap. They don't gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothes? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. Therefore do not be anxious, saying, well, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Church, we can't worry about the future. We can't worry about tomorrow. Because the same God who is taking care of today can handle tomorrow. When we worry about the future, or we try to rush through today, the sad thing is that we miss the mercies that he has specifically planned for this time and this place and exactly where we are. If I am focused on the future and I am worried about how God might get us through this ordeal, days, weeks, or months down the road, I'll miss what he's trying to do in my life today. And if I am scared about what may come or what may arise or what may change, then I am really confessing to myself and to God that I don't trust that you can handle whatever comes in my path. I don't trust you with that. I'm afraid. I don't know how you might work through that. Do you think the disciples, as they saw Jesus hanging on the cross, as they saw his body being taken down, as they wanted to know where they put his body, do you think the disciples might have gone through some of the same pain and wonder and uneasiness? He made all these promises. I mean, we believed. We put our hope in him. He's gone. He assured us victory, and all we see is defeat. Did God have everything under control? He did, didn't he? Absolutely. Absolutely. And from his eternal perspective, it was all okay. From his eternal perspective, the day of the death of Jesus was okay, because from his eternal perspective, the day of his resurrection was coming. And yet God did not allow his son to just skip over that difficult day. God did not allow Jesus to say, well, you know, we're going to take care of all the sin of all the world, and let's just make it disappear. That's not what he did, is it? No. No, he let Jesus go through that day. In fact, Scripture would tell us that Jesus was made perfect. We like to say that Jesus is perfect because he had no sin, right? The Bible tells us that he is complete because he trusted the Father all the way through death. That's a completely different thing. When you think about the perfection of the Son of God, what the Bible tells us, well, the Bible tells us that he was without sin, so he was worthy to die for us in the first place. But the Bible tells us that he was made complete because he trusted the Father all the way. Church, when we worry about the future, when we try to rush through this day, we miss the mercies and opportunities that God made special for right here and right now. I want you to think about that. I want you to think about that. Lance read for us in Lamentations chapter 3. The steadfast love of the Lord never stops. He loves you forever. And his mercies, his grace, they don't run out. They don't come to an end. In fact, they are renewed each and every morning. Now, what does that tell us walking by faith? That this morning, God has opened up the mercies and the grace that you need today. But Lord, I need that mercy and grace. No. But Lord, I'm going to need your strength to get through. And Lord, I'm just not sure how you're going to work out. God says, my love for you will not run out. And my mercy and my grace is given to you fresh today. So if God's mercies are poured in your lap, if God's mercies are filling your soul today, why would you want to be anywhere else? Why would you want to be dwelling on the past? Or why would you want to be rushing into the future? It seems as though the one that is eternal has a better perspective of the present than we do, doesn't he? Yeah. We want to slow down, or we want to speed up. We want to skip. We want to rush over. We want to gloss over. And yet God tells us every day the mercy that he provides for us are new for that day. See, church, whatever we go through, whatever it is that we're dealing with, whatever is in our path, whatever it is that we like to think of as hitting us in the face with life, whatever we go through, God has mercy built specifically for that day. Today, he has given us mercy specifically for today. Today's enough. Today's enough. Live it. Let's turn over to James chapter 4. In James chapter 4, James is going to echo an idea from Proverbs 27. James chapter 4, starting in verse 13. He says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit, yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring." Now I'm just going to stop right there and I'm going to repeat it and I want you to echo it and I want you to let that into your heart. Because this is another aspect of today or tomorrow that you and I struggle with. You do not know what tomorrow will bring. Well, sure I do. It's Monday. Right? I'm going to go to work and there's going to be a pile of mess there and I'm going to be in a bad mood before 9. Something's going to happen. This is going to happen. Ugh, I got that meeting. Ugh, I got that project. I have that quiz. Whatever. I know exactly what tomorrow's going to look like. It's going to be bad. It's going to take all I've got just to get through it. Of course I know what tomorrow will bring. You ever been surprised? You ever had a day, something happened that you were not expecting? Church, we don't know what tomorrow will bring. We don't know what tomorrow will bring, and we need to hear this. What's your life? He continues in verse 14. You're a mist that appears for a little time and then it vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. You boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. Does it help if I say it like this? All such boasting is evil. However, we need to read it to take it seriously. Boasting about tomorrow is evil. And if it's evil, it's not from who? Thank you. So those who follow God should probably not be involved with evil. So, whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him, that's sin. Don't boast about tomorrow because you don't know what it brings. See, when thinking about the future, he says this is how you handle it. Humility is the key. God holds it. God holds it, and we can trust him. Today's enough. Today is enough. So we trust him today. Yeah, but I've got this thing that's coming into the future, and I got to worry about it. And worry has fixed what exactly in your life? Nothing? I don't know. It's caused some hair to fall out. It's caused some lack of sleep. It's caused an ulcer. Yeah. There are the gifts of evil, right? Yes, all those wonderful gifts of evil. You're welcome. Yeah, we don't learn, do we? No, because if I worry about it, I got it. All right, church, ask yourself the question, who do you want to be in charge of tomorrow, you or the Lord? Him. And where does he put us? Here. We tend to make plans, and because of our lack of humility, we just assume that we'll have tomorrow or next month or next week. And you and I are not really big on actually saying the words, you know, if it's the Lord's will, then we're going to do that, right? Well, we know that. We don't say it, but we know that. So why don't we say it? Why don't we say it? Well, because it's just understood, is it? I don't know that it is. I think because we don't say it, because we don't remind ourselves out loud, hey, we're going to next week, if the Lord wills it, we're going to go do this thing. Show of hands, who has future travels already planned, the time off, and booked? Yeah. See? It's. Hey, what are you guys doing? Oh, well, you know, in March we are. Really? I mean, we say it with such certainty, don't we? Right? Oh, yeah, February I have to. And yet we don't think about, well, if the Lord allows me February, then I need to get this done. Lord willing, we are planning on doing this or doing that. Hey, I'll tell you where this really gets us, church. Ready to feel guilty. Whichever side you voted for and whichever side is in charge, you and I just know exactly how the next 4 years are going to look because of what we believe to be their policies and their actions. Oh, yes. We are prognosticators of the future. We just know. Oh, it's all going to fall apart because this guy won. Oh, it's going to be good now because now they're in charge. All such boasting is what? Evil. Thank you. That's right. But we just know, right? We know what the future holds. Church, here's what you know what the future holds. Here's what you can be absolutely sure of. God wins. God wins because God has won. I can be absolutely sure of this, that Jesus Christ is coming. That my Lord and Savior, that does not leave me alone each and every single day that I am fortunate enough to be alive, that He is coming back for me to transform me in such a way so that I can finally be 100% in every possible form to be with Him and the Father forever. That's what I know. That's what I know. Yeah, but I like to think that I know this or I know that. Yeah, we all do. But it's boasting. It's boasting. We've got to be more humble and realize God is the one who holds tomorrow, so I'm going to trust Him today. I can't handle tomorrow. Hey, we can't even handle our past. Right? Something bad ever happened to you that you can't let go of? I won't even ask you to raise your hand. Anybody holding a grudge over something said to you rudely? And you just look at someone and you just got a little bit of a stink eye for them? We can't even let go of yesterday. And you want to hold on in today's, in the future? Our arrogance knows no bounds, does it? No. For people that can't even come to terms with their own past, and you and I want to hold on to what may or may not happen in the future, church, we have got to go right here, today, where we are, because that's where God's love is, that's where God's guidance is, that's where God's mercies are found. You know, once we realize today is where we are and where God meets us, we need to learn how to use our time, don't we? I'm right here, right now, and God is meeting me right here, right now with His mercies, with His grace, and with His guidance. Let's turn over to Luke chapter 10. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord gave me, the Lord showed me something this week. And it made me think of this, story. At the end of Luke chapter 10, verse 38, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed Him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to Him and said, "Lord, do You not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, you're anxious. You're troubled about a lot of things, but only one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her." So, Martha lives this distracted life that she's just got all these things going on. And Mary just stops, sits in the presence of Jesus, and lets him be Jesus. And Jesus says, Martha, look, I'm sorry if you feel stressed out, but I am not going to take someone who is sitting at my feet calmly, relaxed, and completely trusting me for whatever comes. I am not going to put her in your stressful situation. It's not going to happen. And church, we know this to be true. Because when we are Martha-ing through our day or through our week, we want everyone else to Martha with us. Right? Are you not smart enough to realize that you should be Martha-ing today? Do you not have a clue what is going around you that needs a Martha reaction? Lord, make a bunch of Marthas. Because that will make everything better when we are all Marthas. And the Lord says, no, you see, I need you to be more Mary. Mary's not doing anything. Mary's lazy. Mary hadn't helped one bit. No, Mary chose what is good. And I'm not going to be the one that takes away from her. So here's what the Lord showed me this week. A morning this week, the Lord woke me up before my alarm clock. Just a couple minutes. You know, just those annoying last couple of minutes that you just wake up and you go, what time is it? Oh, seriously? It's going to go off in 5 minutes? And he woke me up, and I open my eyes, and I look around. And, well, you know, I do the same thing you do every morning when you wake up. Look at a clock. Look at your phone. And as I wake up, before I can even look at my phone, I did look at the clock. I'm trying to wake up and I'm looking around, and all of the lights, the power off button on the TV, and the clock from the stove in the kitchen that I can just catch a glimpse of from my bed, and the clock, and it all just started to go. And it was very disorienting because, you know, I wake up and I know my phone's here and the clock's here and that's there. And it all just kind of started swimming around. It was very weird. It was very weird. It was very disorienting. And so I'm waking up and I realize, I'm like, oh, that alarm's about to go off. And before I could, you know, check the phone and do all the normal things I would do in the morning, I just kind of had to stop because it really was. It disoriented me. And I just stopped and said, okay, Lord, what is this? What is this? And again, I have found that when I actually need an answer to something, if I ask him, he'll answer. That's what I've found. I don't know what you find. But I find that when I ask the Lord a question, he responds. I said, Lord, I don't understand. What's going on? I don't understand. I don't have visions. I don't hallucinate. What is all this? Why is it so disoriented? Why are all the lights in my dark house moving around? Everything that I start my day with that is there in its perfect place, all being digital and controlled by electricity, of course. All those lights were in the wrong place, and it threw me off. So I asked him, because he's more powerful than my electronics. He's more powerful than your electronics, too. I said, all right, Lord, what is this? And he said, go outside. It's dark. He said, go outside. So I got up, put on my house shoes, put on a, you know, long sleeve shirt, because I assumed it was a little chilly. And I went out the front door, and I stood out in my front lawn, and it was foggy. It was foggy. I could see the tree in front of my front yard. That's it. No leaves on it, just this bare, scary, big Halloween tree, and it's just foggy. I can usually see 10 miles in any direction. I couldn't see anything past the tree. walk out there. I can't see anything. And he said, now start your day. Now start my day. Well, I didn't bring my phone. I'm serious. I'm having these thoughts. I didn't bring my phone. And I usually start my day with, did anybody email overnight? Because I'm sure that was important if they had to email me past a certain hour. So I better check. Did someone do something interesting on Facebook that shared with me that I must know about to start my day? Are the newscasters going to blow me away with something more amazing from the local news that I usually just mindlessly turn on? I mean, am I going to miss something? And he calls me outside. I can't see anything. And he said, this is how your day needs to start. Well, you can imagine how I felt. Pretty guilty, because that's not how I start my day. And he said, let's talk. So I prayed. I'm standing outside of my house. It's foggy. All I can see is a tree. And so I just start talking to him. I just start praying. And I didn't think about my phone, and I didn't think about the TV. I didn't think about anything that was going on in the house. I didn't think about anything. He said, this is how you orient your day. You put me first. Okay. And so I prayed. And I prayed and I said, Lord, my prayer is that this lesson will last a while. That this won't just be a one-off. Because, you know, when God opens your eyes and gives you a lesson, you hope that it, really hope that it hangs around for a while. And then I started praying. And I started praying for others. And I started thinking about those that needed God's mercy that day. And then I thought about how I needed His mercy that day for whatever it is that I was going to face. And I got to tell you, it was a powerful experience. It was a powerful experience. And it really helped. It really helped. I went back inside and, of course, you know, had the coffee. Did the normal things that I do. But because God showed me how to choose Him that day, the rest of the day was different. The rest of the day was just different. I could be more present with Him all day. And church, that's what I want us to carry. That's what I want us to carry. That's what I want us to practice. That's what I want us to live. That's what He wants for us. Today is the day that He has made. The sun came up and He gave each and every one of us the specific mercies that we needed for today. Are you just going to rush through the day? Because if you do, you're going to miss those mercies. Are you going to try to avoid the painful moments of the day? Because I tell you, without that Friday, there wouldn't be that Sunday. You had to have one for the other one to come. We have no idea what form His mercies will come in. Sometimes His mercies come in very pleasant, wonderful experiences. Sometimes His mercies come through pain and suffering. But what He has promised us is today is enough. Let's find Him today. As long as it's called today, let's do what we're supposed to do. As long as it's called today, let's seek His face. As long as it's called today, let's trust Him that He will take care of everything and get us through this day. What a gift. What a gift. Because interestingly enough, because I focused upon Him that day, He somehow opened some other doors to allow me to serve and help some other people that I would not have normally. Because He started me off looking for Him. And because He started me off looking for Him, I didn't have that same energy to think about me. And He just kind of guided me exactly where He needed me that day. Which is what I want for every day, but I don't always think that I get it. So, today. Today, if you're not a Christian, you don't need to put off till tomorrow what needs to be taken care of right now. Today, if you're not a Christian, know that He is made today with the mercy that you need. For Christians, today is the day that God has made. He has specifically for you just planned out and designed all these wonderful mercies. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss where His blessings are because you are chasing evil looking for tomorrow. See where God is acting, because God is acting right here, right now, with us. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. If you need to respond this morning, if you need prayers of encouragement, if we can do anything, we'll get out of the way and let you see God more clearly. Let's stand together and sing.
Rest. Come no longer tarry, I your Lord will bow. Bring me every burden, bring me every care. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy, and my burden's light. Will you not obey Him? Come to Jesus now. Yes, His blood will cleanse you, save you by His power. Come today to Jesus, He will make a room. Hear His tender pleading, He is calling you. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Yoke upon you, help me and be blessed. I am meek and lowly. Come and trust my mind. Come, my yoke is easy. And my burden's light.
Please be seated.
Good morning, church. We have a few closing announcements. Becky's doing better. She's back in room 20. You still can't have any visitors, but she does love getting cards and that sort of thing. So if that's something you would like to do, just get in touch with Dale or one of the other elders. They can assist you with how to get a letter or card to her. Terry and Patty are still in rehab, but they should be back with us next week. So we're excited to see them, Lord willing, next week. Carson and Sarah Russell, Kirsten's brother, they're 20 weeks along pregnant, but they're starting to have some complications with the baby, so just prayers for their family and for their new addition. Also, Aaron's dad has COVID, and with the health issues that Aaron's mom has, they're trying to stay separate from one another, so just prayers for that that entire situation. Are there any other announcements I may have missed? Yes, sir. Okay. Anything else? All right, if y'all will close out with me in prayer. Dear Lord, I thank you for this time you've given us together, for the mercies of today. And I pray that, as Michael prayed, that this lesson will be something that sticks with us, that it won't be something that we'll take and then forget, that it will be something that we're able to carry with us and if nothing else, the lessons of 2020, that we are not in control and that we have to rely on you each and every day for your mercies. I lift up these prayers that were mentioned today for Bryn, for the great blessing that it is for her, and for all of those that are hurting, that you would just, your hand would be in those situations, Lord. I thank you for everything you've done for this family, and that your guide will be with us, and that we will remember that we are given today. Today is our present, and that is something that we should cherish. And tomorrow is yours, and we need to trust you in that. Thank you for everything you've given us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.